Tom Neary, tape 13. You were just talking about Maxim, I think, Tom.
That's right. Oh, it progress down the steep slope, down the trees, the trees around. So we landed on the road at the bottom. Later, come to the ridge and a small stream, a river, and I understand there's a railway close by. And about 3 miles away, you could see the village. So when I looked to the right, about 400 yards away approximately, I could see at least a company of soldiers. And of course I couldn't get through the hours as well, so I'm sure they were. Anyhow, didn't care about that. So over there, all of a sudden, comes out boxes on Maxim, exact, they said it went in 5 minutes, because the bodyguard was coming down on Maxim. So I said to Captain Corker, the patrol forward platoons had gone forward and after one of the yards into the village, and also got the commander. He spoke, is this Maxim, sir? He said, yeah. So I said, block barrage in 5 minutes. Now, between company of quarters and the platoons, I got returned with the 38 set, the throat microphone. As it happened, they got through. They died in the cellars. I tried to get RHQ, as I said, quarters with them. When I got this message, of course, because I haven't really changed it, I did not recognise the voice who sent this message over. So I had no idea where it came from. I know it was a warning. So I couldn't reach them, there was no answer. The trees were probably screening it on the hill. So I went up the hill, calling out, trying to get, and I managed to get Charlie Company. And they operated together. I knew I'd just come back from after a wound in Normandy, so that after early on. So he got the message off me, got back, and stopped the guns. So, now with God's grace, it something that wasn't right temperature would have been.
What does that mean, boxes on Maxim, Tom?
The cold game with Maxim, like you said, boxes were the same term of deviation for a bombard. Boxfires, I suppose,
balance
onto the objective. What it appears came out later that those on the right had reported us and thought we were enemy, and they brought the gun onto us.
I see.
That's how it is in flat warfare. What they call friendly fire.
Yes.
So, when it comes out to the overseer afterwards, they said it came from RHQ. The message did not come from RHQ. I picked it up from the other way.
Yeah.
Like the rocket, and I stopped it that way. Anyhow, so that's okay. So we have to consolidate afterwards. We cleared the area. The jellies were all right. What happened then? There was quite a commotion. And then things went quiet. This old lady were coming towards where they were moving. And they waved her in, she had a basket with her, waved her in her arm. And when she seen, she turned and was started running away. Now, some said, well, she told the Germans where they were and all the rest of it. Some stopped up in, fired and killed her. I couldn't have done anything, you know. Anyhow, they brought her in and they buried her. But they do this trench and they do it so that they didn't really relent of her. And they want to show in, but the last day when they have done it. So they do it proper, buried her. And afterwards, this old poet came up with his wife and he was out.
Oh, that's awful, Tom.
Yeah, which is what war was like, isn't
it? He came up for his wife, so would he have seen what happened?
No, I don't think he was looking. He knew she'd gone out, I understand, could speak German. He knew she'd gone out there looking for you, so he seemed probably on the food and passing,
huh? Yeah.
Of course, the news had to come up and she
came. Yeah.
Anyhow, we consolidated in this cottage for the night, and I've been on the set that long with the room had two his message came over and he couldn't get it. And the Titan said to him, "Tommy, I can't get this message. What can you do?" And the company commander's there, and he's up there. So I listened to him, and I said, "So what I did, I got a wire with a plug and I put it into the air and I threw it over and stuff in to hide." And I received the message. And they were, it was all grouped, the Ontario Tunnel Group, in the village of
Kirchentown.
That's right. Headquarters was there.
Well, we know the date of that. That's April the 16th.
So, the company commander said to me, "Come with me." So, him and I went in the Jeep to Kirchentown into Irish Jew. And I understand from there, what I know, that the major of Dutchery must have said something to the Colonel, something about the, you know, that marching. And now we came back. Then we moved from there, and I think we come to Neddy River Bourbon.
Yeah, I think that may have been just before, Tom.
Was it on the Ipswich?
Yeah, I think Nedered, that name that I can't say, was possibly a day before Kirchentown.
Well, I've got mixed up, you see. So, where then was it where the tank was turned into the river?
There was a stream at Stemmen, I believe.
Stemmen then. So, I'm mixing names up here. What did I say where Waxham and Maxwell were?
We didn't actually say, but I thought that may have been around Nedereva, Egenberg.
Yeah, it wasn't that though. It's not a short name.
Okay.
We'll have to check on what it was. Very short name. So
Armson?
It could have been Armson. The name that's short like that.
A lot of little names around there, aren't there? Villages.
That's where Maxwell. And yeah. Where it was is a railway line and a station, Mr. River.
Yeah.
And it would be Armson, it was a short name. But it was, you're right.
Was it Armson?
That's where the lady and his lady friend were in the woods.
Yeah.
So then we must have moved along the road, and we turned right and we came into this village, which was you said was turning.
Yeah?
In front of us is a church of a bank, and it's going along and it's evening. If I remember right, have I got this one? I'll see it right then. Got an impression. Anyhow, it's going along, it gets to the bridge, and the bridge collapsed under it. It toppled over, upside down, and it was in the stream. So the bridge was no use. We crossed through, into the village. And when we got through it, we climbed, and like a walk through the trees. And then from there, we went downhill, through the orchard, and out of the tunnel. So we got D Company, took over as forward company. Down through woods, right along, for a matter of it would be 800 yards.
Yes. You see, Stemmen, I think, Tom, if it helps you, I think Stemmen was immediately before Kirchentown.
Yeah, you see, it began all the, yeah, it would be, because, you see, there's that many.
Yeah.
One place to another.
Yeah.
So this, they'll have to sort it out because I can't. So we run down through this orchard, and the jellies opened up on us with the guns, and they're dropping all around, which is crazy. I was then with company headquarters, D Company, with the telephone. I've done that long, and done it as before with a wireless set. So as we advanced and we're running, out the trees, big flash on the left, like a silver fish. It's a fun flag idea, but less than that. Slide along, it was this one big shell about 1 foot 6 long, and it never went off, obviously.
How close to you was that, Tom, when it landed?
Well, it could be beneath the wall.
About 8 foot, maybe?
No, I don't know. I think it could be about 5 foot.
About 5 foot?
Something like that, yeah. And it would be, no more.
Yeah.
And it just, you see, it's coming down, you see it flashing of light, like a silly thing, and hit the ground, it's sort of a dust in front,
isn't it? Yeah. And we don't have no chance of that, of course.
No.
No.
This is fragmentation, the glass would be doing. So we got into this village, I told you at the bottom, well, there's a farm and a barn. And the communication with the forward lads had been gone. So as we were standing forces with dinners, we created the communication beyond the ownership. So the shelling again, we kind of see where they are. So we found a ladder in this barn yard, and me and the sergeant mate put it on the wall in this barn inside. And I said, I'll go. You know, I'll go try the ladder, and he went up, bought the slates and the grasses to find out where they were, forward. So then, they opened up, you know, and kicked me off. So when we came out, they came and they said to me, visit him, take his rice and take it up to forward, up to the red beam coming forward. Build another set up there. So I did it on the way of the set. As we went along, they came over and got, at that stage, one plane came over and got one bomb.
Yeah.
Then, with the machine gun to the top and the shelling, I get a bit further, this thing had a date in the signal, we need to meet in the ditch, so then slowly, you know what, you've got to go like this tonight.
Yeah.
Cut it forward, and I get the next set of the beacon, with the second one, the beacon dog, and we resumed communication, no problem, but the set was nothing wrong with it. So then, Major Duffy said to me, right, Tom, what do you think about using this set and we sent a patrol out? Now, the company would have been less, but they've lost 16 men on the river, because everybody died in between.
Yeah.
So the company would be down. We were looking for two platoons. So we said, yeah. So the set went forward. We went forward into the first wood, and when we got through the first wood to the back side of it, then I reported. But when we looked across this open space to the second wood, there was 9 big field guns all in a locking.
Where?
German field guns.
Yeah.
And then they'd been firing at us.
The silver fish you saw?
No sign of any fish spots about it. So we went up around the flanks. We didn't know the wind was going to be in spite. They hadn't been at all. They'd been booby trapped. But there's no way inside. So we went right to the silver wood again to the second out. Second, you know, back to the second wood.
Yeah.
When we looked, there was a wall in front of us there and this village. And I can't even remember that thing in there.
Well, you see, if you've just gone through Stemmen,
yeah,
then that village could well have been Kirchlin Town on the 16th.
That's the point about the road.
Yeah.
And, the road, you know, went along, right bending it, announces, and on this side of the right, what we took over, was a very big house. When we got in it, there was some professional gold. On the wall, with the wall of one of them. Anyhow, we took it. So, Major Duffy took this room, and I was with the Major Room, the German professional. The lads found the cellar and the pack of wine. Of course, we thought we'd sat in the dust, you know, not the annoying. His manager was very strict, and he wouldn't tell it. So this Jerry complained, the gentleman complained about his wine cellar, but he stopped him from any dealings, and what he did, he made him keep all digging outside.
Yeah.
There was no more filth in the lobby. So then he said to me, "Here, what's your number? You've got to be waiting there at the king." But very well, you know. So we stayed there, I think it was a day and a half or something like that. We got all the wounded in.
That could well be Kirchlin Town that day.
And then we moved on again. We must have, you know,
yeah,
it was up there. Now, the next place I think we came to, before I remember where we were again, and we stayed in a... we were on the flank of this village, Dee Company, and he was out of town, and in his pocket he had the bed that they were opening again. So the lady Griffin said to me, "I took a whiskey." Got me in, said, "Yes, sir." So we shared the whiskey in the house. I took the whiskey a few times. So we did that, and the other part to go and I slept the night there. Then from that point, the next one, if I'm not mistaken, we went to, was it Rottenburg?
Well, I was going to say Rottenburg, because that's after Kirchen Town.
Right.
Rottenburg is the next place that comes to my mind.
That's right. That's where your uncle got killed.
In Kirchen Town.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we took this, sometimes all I've got in the month of the time we moved by transport, a quick move. And I think that's what we did in that case when we got to Rottenburg. So there was an airfield there, and it came as usual. The jellies were stayed all over the place there. They kept sending the morning minis on to us. We took over this house, and in this house it had been something that was growing. Anyhow, that was a couple of headquarters. Now, they were coming through the woods and skirmishing. Lots of men there. The morning minis kept coming over, they never worked as they were. So I was again wanted some of the ambassadors what they wanted from RHQ. But Rankin went with them and decided I'd go to RHQ to get whatever they were happy to go for. So we set off and I got to RHQ. He said, "Mind, be careful that the motor bombs are coming over and that." That's true. So I went back to HQ when I got this here. So he said to me, "The family's asking over you, near Bennett Lamb. Where are you? How are you going on?" So I came back, and on his way back, opened up again the horrible scream of the morning in the rockets. It was 5 dozen at once.
Yeah.
Well, coming down around the news. So we were on the rows of houses. New houses built with a brick. So thanking me, I dived back through this door head first in to get some cover. Down the crash shore down in all the head first. And when it subsided and the noise and that's a little put them up playing a new shot in the So we got up from there and the pictures were along more rockets come over. Then they were airfield, so then we started to try and go away and we shot them up. Quite enough. Now, after that point, I'm not after that night, and the men killed there. And that would be by that day, it was the 18th of April or something.
A bit beyond, I think,
yeah.
Tom. A bit beyond that.
No, remember now. Tell you what. When I was in the surgical cottage, it came there, and I was there, and Major looked at me, "You're not having a whiskey?" Yeah. And I drank whiskey and I said to him, "It's your birthday today, 21st of April."
So that's the date. You're in Rottenburg.
Yeah. You know, near the So I said, "Oh, so I suppose you're on the job, you know."
Yeah.
And then, after that day, I could be wrong, in my own years, I can't actually remember the
Well, no, I think that's getting towards, if we think, it's getting towards the end of the war, isn't it? And I think that's right. I think you're heading up towards northern parts.
North Westphalia?
Yes.
That's right. So then we might up here, right up into the Westphalia. And we eventually go Nienburg East. And in the distance, you could see you could hear the trains, and you could see the smoke rising from Hamburg.
Yeah.
And it was all on the left flank, left forward, and then right there. Lovely, clear time of day. Well, what's it, spring, isn't it? May. Come up to May, anyhow, and go still at that time. It wouldn't be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, birthday was 21st, so this is certainly toward the end of April.
That's right. So by the time we get up to Lunenburg, down that area, it will be towards the end of April. I remember my dad's birthday was 27, so I remember that. So we were there for quite a while, and then there was one day we crossed the middle of the road. So we held it, and we crossed the road with some weekly army, and we just on the tip of the middle there. And then we got orders that we would have to go to Hamburg on that side.
Yeah.
But then messages started flying about, no further movement, no firing from this point to that point. German missile coming to negotiate. So D Company was called right on this main road, and then I can't remember what date it would be, but I would have thought it must have been somewhere around the 1st of May, I guess. And then it would come to this car with his leather coated officers on, and it was Admiral General Miller with Gordon Kleinberg. And he went to us and passed through to some really thankful to do. So they went forward, came back, and then the morning negotiations went on, rumours were flying all over, eventually, we had to be down. Well, when it happened, when you looked at these men, they were as far as they'd gone as the end of the tether, that you'd look and tell the guys and say, they'd come to saturation point. He'd been intensifying from crossing the Rhine, he was non stop. Day after day after day. So it crossed in March, wasn't it?
About the 25th, 6th of March?
Well, from that day up to the middle of May, the fighting had been incessant.
Yeah.
You know, we were in the SS, really not big barrages, as I said, not big amounts of men, but like say battalions fighting one another, mostly machine guns and what they call them. There were some, so I'm like a terror, but not bodies that we had before. And of course,
Neville Worthers.
Yeah. Then they've been horrible now. Well, they do on the water, don't they? So we heard them to go out. But we were all there, and looked at them all. They were all stupefied, I would say, and told about myself. Immense relief. Couldn't believe it. After all this time, in 1939. But then the orders were that we had to go into Hamburg in the morning, sort it out, we moved a bit further forward into another village on the Hamburg Road. Then, in the night, early on, we boarded and flooded. I said, do any transport that we could, some were hanging on to the Belgium, so they rode so far, going towards Hamburg. Yeah, we got off, I can't remember where it was, and then we all formed up in echelon formation, that is, not side of the road, back to two, Anyhow, when we came from winning into it, ruins on either side, all makes all the ruins, and part buildings. Faces being through different tracks and windows. And as far as you could see it falling, was the German police. All at the exact intervals, all in the white coats and the helmets.
Were you first into Hamburg, Tom?
These tanks were first into the east.
Yeah.
So as we're going along like that, as we approached the current front of the coast, German police. They seem to attention, and I believe the attention that they've got to each one, so he's coming fast. White tag, bugged up old soldiers, who were knackered, that came of truthfulness. Victorious, glory, just memories, and then we knew, we never got there. So, all this came then, and they come on up to the different place, so now it's me. Took over, and the Gestapo headquarters. Well, we were there in the air, too, because I was there in the room. Germans coming in, after permits for this and permits for that, our company commander, Mr. Duxbury, turned up for that lot. the Adelaide Botanic Quarter to installation of mansion holders, so we're going to use that instead. There are two lakes in Nambour. There's some, of course, in the river, but the two lakes, one is used now, so it's called the Little Nalster, or the Nalster without the water. But that part has never been demonstrated.
Really?
So the owl there and the Amberg on these two lakes. So we moved down to there right quickly, up on the lake side, in this guy like this house, palatial place it was. Blind, that's the end. What did he about it? So when we were there, we had to call from our HQ, from the beer officers, so he came to the lady and he said, "Dearie, we're calling back to HQ." Steve was watching. He said, "You want to stay here?" He said, "Yes, sir." "I'd rather have one to stay here," he said. So, come back, come on. So I stayed with Deacon. We all the rest of the similar bar, Deacon the seniors, and come back to our HQ.
What date is it at this stage, here, Tom?
It would be We entered on the 4th.
Okay.
So we had a 56.
Yeah.
So I said to him, "All right, we're on here." We had a telephone in the mail. So I said, "You want to lay some lines, empty cables, you know, cables and that. We're only in the lines to go to Master, so they're lying, but we're there, we have the telephone." You know, so I'm just doing that. Next thing, on the, as we occupied it on the 4th, and it come through, we captured the barge of whiskey.
Yeah.
This barge was going down the Owl as it was going dusk. And of course, the company fired warning shots across as well, but it couldn't get going, so of course the fire and hit it. But it came in. When it came in, it was full of nothing, only liqueur wines, spirits, which include Johnny Walker whiskey, because we don't know what the substance, Johnny Walker whiskey and bowls and all this. Now, for days, we looked at the 15 on the weights and trucks were unloading this barge, which they told us was going up to Slesvig Holstein, where the Nazis were holding out, which is in Denmark, isn't it?
Yeah, right up north.
Yeah. Anyhow, so coming down the road, and it's all going to go to the Disney Lake Quarter, 53rd day. Not the one that I did, he stopped off, and then, in the cupboard. So when it came to the 8th of May, is when, if my memory's right, the Levine Day.
Yeah.
And, Curtis King, and all the things, you know, the speeches and that. We also occupied Hamburg Radio, where a lot of robots used to broadcast from very tall in that area. All the warehouses with all the food in, and the roads food still there, we had all that. We're on with displaced persons, Russians, and the Italians, all sorts of nationalities, trying to get them. So, well, from there, this message came to Rankin to the kitchen. He came to me and he said, "Come on, what? The message in, I can't make sense of this," he said. "What is it?" So when I looked at it, say, 1400 hours, evacuation of 140 rations. He said, "Don't evacuate rations." "Oh, I can't make so. I don't know what I can say." So I walked on to the headquarters. Sing office. "I'll always. I said, "You've got a message in, you can't make any sense of this message. From what's wrong with it?" "So I read it again." "Well, that's correct," he said. I said, "No, it's not. How can you evacuate rations?" "When I say bloody rations, I mean bloody rations." I said, "And it means cold open bridges. And it comes from Sussex by the sea." "Oh," I said, You mean Russians? When I say Russians, I mean bloody Russians." "You say that you're okay, over, get your bloody air on." So then, the next thing is, but the spotted door for the officers. The first door was going to quite do very, I understand they looked through the records, and I think if we then tried again, they were over 1800 casualties. I think in that they are the upper level, and over 360 killed, I think it was. So what we did on the E Day, Corker came in, we had the box there, we got the whiskey, and we drank to our friends.
Yes.
Then the night after, they had the banners up, and they found this door out of the garage, and they rolled it up, and then the big banner, boxes on boxes. So
which was a tribute to your story earlier on in the villages down there, by the Allen.
So what they did then, I was really, I think there was a woman who was still looking at the mentor. But he got transferred as town major in some town in Germany, and we were moving down from Hamburg. When we moved from Hamburg, it was in May, I can't really think what date it was, probably in June. They'd opened different clubs, but we moved. Anyhow, Captain Corker was made up the major of the two corporate company. So we went on the way back to where we were, through Hanover, Osnabrück, and eventually we finished at the outside town, a big town called Oberhausen in the Ruhr.